What you think? You think we need to call Moses up here? Moses. Moses. Working just like I wanted it. Moses. Come on. Come on. Moses. Just like I wanted it. Come here. Come on, Kendall. All right. All right, sit. Sit down. All right. What do you think, Gabe? You think it'll work? Mm-hmm. You think it will? Get a ball. Go over there and get a ball. Okay. Get him, Moses. Get him. Get the ball. Moses, get the ball. Get the ball. What do you think? Should we try it again, Gabe? Grab another ball. Grab that ball over there. Grab us. Yeah. There you go. All right. Throw it out there. See what he does. Get it, Moses. Get it. Moses, come here. Come on. Come on. Get another ball, Gabe. Let's try it again. Get another one. Set. All right. Look. You got your basketball. And the other basketball. This is awesome. Come on, Moses. Okay. Tell him, say set. Say set, Moses. Okay, you ready? Let's do it again. Ready? Throw it. Go get it. Come here, Moses. Okay, well, here you go, Gabe. Here's another one. Throw another one. Let's see if we can get him to get one ball, okay? Get it, Moses. Get it. Come here, Moses. 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 Come here. Sit. Moses. Moses. Hey. Moses. Come on. All right. I think I proved my illustration. One more time. You want to try it again? All right. Get it. Get the ball. All right. Come here, Gabe. I need to play drums. You need to play drums. Well, I told you we'll play drums after church, okay? Tell them thank you for paying attention.
Thank you for paying attention.
Okay. All right. Yeah, you don't mind. Worked out just like I wanted it to. Now, let's relate that to following Jesus and following orders. Because often, there are so many voices and so many distractions in our lives that he can be talking, shouting on a megaphone. He can be writing it in the sky. He can be speaking into our ears and into our hearts. He can be speaking through another person. We can be reading his word. And we're like a dog that's a spaz. And here's what we do in the process. We make ourselves okay with disobedience or partial obedience. Well, I'm hearing God's voice. Here's the question. Are you obeying? Am I obeying? I knew this is exactly how it would go because Moses is only, it'd be 3 in September. And whenever he's over at our house, even though I own him, the papers are in my name, he's my dog, When Gabe's over, Gabe's the boss. When my small group is over and all their kids are over, my small group and their kids are the boss. Who's the boss in our life? Who's in charge? And we say we're Christ followers. I say we're in. I say we're on board with you, God. But whose voice do we listen to? Depend on who we're with? Does our obedience determine what day of the week it is? What group we're with? Whether we're on the job, off the job? It's no different than Moses. It's no different. In fact, it's exactly the same. Exactly. When we talk about following the Lord Jesus Christ, and today we're going to look at today, next week, and the week after that, we're going to look at following orders. One of the first things that it seems is really important is to live an authentic life. As much as we can, to live our lives out of God's word, no matter what all the other voices are saying. No matter what group we're with, no matter what class we're in, no matter what section of town we're in, no matter where we may be going for the weekend and returning after the weekend, is to live that authentic Christian life as much as we possibly can in the power and work of the Holy Spirit. And understand, you need to hear this. I need to hear this. We need to hear this regularly. Living God's way is upside down, inside out, and backwards to living the way of the world. It just is. It always has been. And so to live an authentic life by following God's orders, we can't do it on our own. Because God will be directing our lives as we read His Word, and as we step outside of the privacy of our own home, there'll be another voice saying, follow this, follow this. And there'll be another voice saying, follow this, do it this way. There'll be another voice saying, do it this way, do it this way. And all the while, God's voice is trying to override all of those voices. I knew Moses would do this today. I knew. Because it's a great illustration of our life in trying to follow Christ. An amazing illustration. He didn't fetch one ball. Did you notice that? Did not fetch one ball. He didn't even take orders from Gabe. He usually listens to Gabe. That's the picture of us so often, too often. If you have a Bible, you can go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 9. And then I'll be reading through that chapter, and then from verses 8, 9, and 10 of chapter 13. Going to be using the Message paraphrase this morning, so if you have New International, New Living, something else, it will be drastically different. So the first two verses I'll read, verses 9 and 10. Here's an authentic life according to God's Word. Love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. Run for dear life from evil. Hold on for dear life to good. Be good friends who love deeply. Practice playing second fiddle. And then I want to go to chapter 13, verses 8, 9, and 10, because it dovetails into verses 9 and 10 of chapter 12. Don't run up debts except for the huge debt of love you owe each other. When you love others, you complete what the law has been after all along. The law code: don't sleep with another person's spouse. Don't take someone's life. Don't take what isn't yours. Don't always be wanting what you don't have. And any other don't you can think of, finally adds up to this. Love other people as well as you do yourself. You can't go wrong when you love others. When you add everything in the law code, the sum total is love. Let's take a break. Just think about that. Love. Love. Most of us are trained to be conditional. It's just the way we're trained. As much as we'd like to say we know what it is to love unconditionally or be loved unconditionally and freely, most of us have never experienced that. That's why so many of us struggle with God's unconditional and free love. Well, what's the catch? There's no catch. He loves you. And to be Christ-like and to have an authentic Christian experience is to love in the same manner. Love from the center of who you are. And he talks there in chapter 13 that love is the sum total of the law code. And he's primarily referring to the first five books of the scriptures of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Because the greatest command is to love God with everything we are. And the second greatest command is to love others as we love ourselves. Love. Love. Not judge. Love. Not pick apart. Love. 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 And we can come up with all kinds of excuses why we shouldn't love another person. And yet God's word never says, don't do that. And God's word never says, do that. Love. 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 In fact, in one passage in the New Testament, it says, love covers a multitude of sins. And it's never ignoring the sin in another person's life. But listen, you can't fix the sin in another person's life, and neither can I. What can we do? Love them. Love them. Love them. Love them unconditionally. Here's the deal. God loves us in spite of us. To be godlike is to love people in spite of themselves. And maybe, first and foremost, to love somebody else in spite of ourselves. So easy to judge. It's so easy to pick other people apart. It's so easy to pick a church apart. It's so easy to pick a business apart. It's so easy to pick your employer or your employees apart. It's so easy to see the flaws and the faults and the warts and the cracks in somebody else instead of love. 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 Loving freely. Is there the risk you'll get hurt? Sure there is. Is there the risk they'll take advantage? Surely there's that risk. Is there the risk you'll be misunderstood? Sure there is. But it's worth all the risk. Will love change somebody? At least it opens the door for them to be changed. That's at the very least. Love. So to live an authentic life after the view of Scripture is to love. Not to fake it, but to love. To turn to one another in love. My dad, his favorite topic was love. And I never understood that because he was never very expressive about it or demonstrative. He's pretty quiet. But as you begin to watch him, it was amazing how many people gravitated towards him because he accepted them for who they were, and he loved them for where they were. And he never had a mean word to say about anybody. He just loved all people. Love. When you go on, verses 11, 12, and 13. Again, the message. Don't burn out. Keep yourselves fueled in a flame. Be alert, servants of the Master, cheerfully expectant. Don't quit in hard times. Pray all the harder. Help needy Christians and be inventive in hospitality. In other words, there's that need for a zeal and a zest for going after the things of God without flaming out. And probably the best word that God would share with us is that this thing called following Christ is not a dash, it's an ultra marathon. It's more than 26.2 miles. It's seeing way down the road and saying in your commitment to Christ, I will not quit no matter where this road leads and how long it gets and how hard it gets,
I will always be fueled up by staying in God's Word, by staying in a worship experience, by getting myself involved in a home huddle, by getting myself involved in serving other people. I will not quit. And that whole thing of being alert servants of the Master, one of the things you noticed about Moses was all over the board. He is paying attention to everybody else but me. Sometimes I'm afraid that's what we do to God. We pay attention to everybody else but Him. We're more worried about what other people think, what other people are saying. We're more worried about being popular. We're more worried about being in. We're a little bit more worried about, listen to one voice and be alert and stay alert, knowing that the voices will always be going off. There'll always be someone or something vying for your attention. Stay focused. The next few verses is really about being a blessing. The rest of the chapter is about being a blessing. First, bless your enemies. No cursing under your breath. We could park there, couldn't we? And if you notice, God never gives an exception clause. I know what you're thinking, but Tom, if you knew what they'd done, I got it. I know. We all think that, right? We all think that, right? We're the exception. That God's excusing us to bad behavior because of how we were treated. And He says, bless your enemies. Bless your enemies. No cursing under your breath. How do you bless somebody? Hey, God, I just want you to bless them. Hey, have a great day. What can I do for you? And how you become a blessing is then unpacked through the rest of these verses. Here's how you become a blessing, not just to your enemies, but laugh with your happy friends when they're happy. Share tears when they're down. Sometimes we get so caught up in us, in me, myself, and I, that we forget that there's other people and there's other things going on in other lives outside of ours. And sometimes we are willing to celebrate, but I'm afraid sometimes there's a little bit of jealousy because something good has happened in somebody's life, or sometimes we don't know what to do when they're going through a tough time. Instead of wrapping our arms around them, we withdraw. And what God's Word teaches us authentic living is to laugh with them and to cry with them. In other words, jump right smack dab in the middle of their life and whatever's going on in their life, and rejoice, cry. He goes on, how to be a blessing. Get along with each other. Don't be stuck up. Make friends with nobodies. Don't be the great somebody. In the Message in Romans chapter 12, that's probably my favorite section right there. Here's my way of putting it. Play well with other children. That's Ford's terminology. Isn't it funny how we refuse to play? Hey, Mike, would you do me a favor? Would you hand me that tennis ball right there, please? Thanks, buddy. It's funny how we're willing to be mad at somebody and take our ball and go home. God's Word says don't do that. But we justify it somehow, some way. And we pick up our ball and we go home. And right here, it teaches us, get along with each other. Don't be stuck up. You might as well say, ouch. Because that one hurts. To get along, we have to be humble. And we have to realize there's something about the other person's life that makes them a person of value and worth to be heard and to be loved. So often differences scare us. And for me, diversity is one of the strengths that God uses to build the body. If we're all alike, can I tell you something? If we're all alike, somebody's unnecessary. If we all think alike, if we all sing alike, can you imagine how boring a praise team would be if everybody had the same voice? Get along. If you're mad at somebody this morning, and I think I probably swore to myself that I'd never say this because my mom used it. But if you're mad at somebody this morning and you've just kind of let it own you and they live rent-free right here, shame on you. Shame on you. Go deal with it. And realize, being a Christ follower, that's unacceptable. Get along. How do you get along? Love them in spite of them, and love them in spite of you. You know, when we pick on somebody else and we point out their faults, did you realize we're probably the problem, not them? I'm just saying. Don't be stuck up. Make friends with nobodies. Don't be the great somebody. You know who the nobodies are? They're the people in the shadows. They're the people that come in and sit. They're the people that are beat down by life. They're the people that are struggling with life. They're the people that have been nobodies all of their life for the most part. My greatest heart is for the nobodies in life. That's my greatest heart. For the people that lurk in the shadows because they don't feel worthy of being loved by God or loved by anybody else. And too often as a church, we ignore those people. Because we're high-fiving one another ourselves. That's great. Patting each other on the back. That's great. I'd much rather see us not mix with each other and mix with the nobodies. And I never call anybody a nobody, just Paul's pointing that out. Verses 17, 18, and 19. Here's about blessing your enemies. Don't hit back. I like that. That sounds like a kid's theme, don't it? Don't hit back. In other words, play well with others. If somebody hits you, don't hit them back. Discover beauty in everyone. If you've got it in you, get along with everybody. Don't insist on getting even. That's not for you to do. I'll do the judging, God says. I'll take care of it. Get along with everybody. Have you ever thought, how can you get along with somebody that seems impossible to get along with? I mean, have you ever thought that? You know what you do? That's just some advice. Stop talking and listen. Listen to their heart. Listen. If you'll spend enough time with them and invest enough energy in them, they'll tell you who they are, and you'll find there's a person of value and worth underneath the surface if you'll listen. And let's take it back a step even before that. We talked a couple of 3 weeks ago. It's really important for us in this thing called authentic Christian living to stand in the mirror of God's word and work on us first. Take the plank out of your own eye, Jesus said. Matthew chapter 7, that's one of the verses we looked at. before you attempt to take the dot out of another person's eye. And then I've had people tell me, well, they're telling me that to take the dot out of the other person's eye. You know, you don't get it. That's hyperbole. It's an exaggeration for a truth. Work on you. Work on you before you go working on anybody else. In fact, don't work on anybody else. Get along with everybody. And then this whole revenge thing. Would we like to get even? Yes. Do we have a reason to get even? Yes. Have we been offended? Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Does a person that has deeply offended us and wounded us, do they deserve something? Yes, I would agree. But be careful how far you go with the yeses. Because you know what I know? We've offended somebody and we deserve that same treatment in some way, shape, or form. So what do you do when you've been hurt? If you see your enemy hungry, go buy that person lunch. Is that not upside down? It is. It's upside down. It's backwards. It's inside out. Because we're supposed to have an eye for an eye, tooth for tooth. We're supposed to be able to get revenge. We're human. If we don't stand up for us, who's going to? Listen. God, our Father. So if you see your enemy hungry, go buy that person lunch. If he's thirsty, get him a drink. Your generosity will surprise him with goodness. Don't let evil get the best of you. Get the best of evil. By doing what? What's the word? By doing good. Authentic Christian living. Being a blessing in such a way that our enemies are... They're taken back. They're expecting retaliation. That's the world. That's how we're born into, what we're born into. They're expecting us to exact revenge in some way, shape, or form. God's word says, don't do that. Leave that up to the Father. Take it to the Father and say, God, I've been deeply wounded. I've been deeply offended. And then, bless your enemy. Then, feed your enemy. Then give your enemy something to drink. Let God do the rest. Wow. Love. Love, love, love. Blessing, 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 blessing. Zeal, zeal, zeal. Not burning out. Staying aflame. Not quitting. Man, this whole thing called being a Christian, there's a lot to it. It's not just showing up on Sunday mornings. It's not just being in a home huddle. As important as those two things are, showing up on Sundays, being in a home huddle, and then third would be serving somewhere in the body of Christ. As important as those three things are, living authentically is where the rubber meets the road. And you and I really begin to grow in following Christ. Is it easy? No. Will you fail? Time and time again. And what you do and what I do when I fail at this is bring it to the Lord. Lord, I messed this one up really bad. I messed it up. I'm sorry. Help me, Lord, to live this out. This week and then the next 2 weeks, really great weeks to know what it is to follow God's orders. This week, live authentically. Next week, live responsibly. And the third week, live redemptively. It's really important for us. For me, it's really important for me to remember my dog. I knew that's what he would do. Because it's indicative of our Christian life. When we read God's word, I've got God's word, I've got a handle, I've got it, I've got it, I've got it. And then when the heat's on, when there's so many other voices, it's like I'm almost like Moses. Instead of, okay, God, you want me to love my enemy and to serve them and to know that if I love them, I'm fulfilling your entire law. Okay. In the power of the Holy Spirit, I can do that. And even if I don't do it, which I don't often, I know I can come back to my Father and go, Father, I messed that one up. I screwed that one up. Okay, let's do it again. Because I know there'll be plenty of opportunities. Living authentically. Would you bow with me, please?